Today we'll be in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And we are a tad bit ahead of schedule. So we'll attempt to slow it down just a little bit. But I want us to look at Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And here we'll encounter Peter's second sermon. Of course, the first one is in Acts chapter 2. And we notice, according to verse number 14 through verse number 42, that Peter was preaching by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not just Peter, but the 12. But of course, Peter's was recorded for posterity. But in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, it's a very interesting sermon here, because it begins with the lame man. And it begins with a miracle, if you will. We'll have time to read. So we're going to read the first 10 verses, and then we'll make some comments concerning what is taking place. In verses 1 through 10, we'll see God's proof leading to godly preaching. God's proof leading to godly preaching, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, that's key, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask an alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So verses 1 through 10, God's proof leads to godly preaching. 52 times in the book of Acts alone, you'll come across an Old Testament reference. That's a lot. And here we're going to see some Old Testament references as we continue our reading. But I want us to take notice that this particular man was lame, meaning that he could not walk from his mother's womb. He had no control over what was going on below his waist. He was lame. And we notice that they sat him down at the gate called Beautiful. Now, this was a common occurrence because those individuals could not work. And, of course, because they could not work, they had to beg. Well, this particular day was a good day for this man because he went there or was brought there to beg. But Peter and John wanted to do something that was going to bring glory to God. Now, keep in mind that miracles, of course, were to confirm the word, Mark 16 and verse 20. And in this, it was to glorify God. God was to get the credit. So we see that this man here, from his mother's womb, was carried every day, laid at the temple. And notice what Peter says to him in verse number 6. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Now notice, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Now, this is powerful in and of itself. Eight times we're going to find in this discourse alone, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, eight times we're going to see the word word name come up by his power, by his authority. All right. So here he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, notice what took place in verse 7. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up. We saw the same thing in Acts chapter 9 last week in verse 41 when Peter lifted up Dorcas by the hand, you know, being a gentleman. All right. That's just something that we need to keep in mind. But he says, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Let's take a time out real quick and let's examine the text. Let's think through the text. Who's the author of the book of Luke? The book, what did I say? Who's the author of the book of Acts? Well, everybody can get an open book test every now and then you get the answer. What was Luke? An educated physician. Now, isn't it ironic that he is very specific on what received strength? Isn't that beautiful how God shows us what's going on? How did Luke know that he was a physician? And we can know that just looking at the text, his feet and ankle bones received strength. He knew that. Now, I say that to say this. When I come across little golden nuggets like that in the text, it just makes me appreciate God even more. God doesn't hide anything from us. He wants us to know what's going on most of the time. And because of that, notice the response and gratitude that we see. The response is that he began to walk and to leap. The gratitude is that he was praising God. Now, all of this took place for a specific reason. Notice, in verse number 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. It was no shadow of a doubt. This man from his mother's womb was always taken to the gate called Beautiful to beg. So everyone was amazed and they were marveling behind this. All right. And when you think about a miracle is designed for people to go, wow. You know, God is a God of wow. Every time we see or hear of a child being born, we know that's not miraculous today, but isn't that a beautiful, beautiful scene? Wow. No one can do that. Just God. All right. Verses 11 through verse 26. Godly preaching. Godly preaching. All right. Peter's second sermon is recorded. Chapter 3. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. Notice they were greatly amazed. They were just wild about what just took place here. All right. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now, I want us to consider this. He didn't take any credit. He didn't take any glory. Really, that's the point right there. That the focus is not on the apostles, The focus was on Jesus Christ. It's still the same today. We may preach a great sermon. It's okay to say good job, but really all glory goes to God. All right. It's his word. We're preaching his word. If any time we do anything that is noteworthy, notable, we give God the glory. We don't take the glory. And really, as a child of God, you go out and you do a great work, a work of benevolence. Someone say thank you to you. To God be the glory. Not about us. It's about God. All right. Notice what he goes on to say. Because this is the proper response. Peter responded properly to these individuals. And when you consider verse 13, he says he glorified his servant Jesus. Mark in your notes, John 7:39, Jesus was going to be glorified. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to be sent until Jesus was glorified. That glorification means that he was going to be raised from the dead, but also ascend to the Father. All right. So that's vitally important in the text. So Peter, in the midst of his sermon, notice what he says in verse 14. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted. Put in your notes, John 18:39 and verse 40 right there. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now, some five times you'll see in chapter 3 and chapter 4, raised from the dead or resurrected. You know, I was thinking about this, Brother Pope Joy, and you know, when Brother Omar is here, he was talking about the cross. And really, we will all be in sin if it wasn't for the cross of Christ. But friends, make no mistake about it. The resurrection is vitally important. Yes. That's right. Good point. Great point. In Acts 1:8, Jesus even told them before his ascension back to the Father that they were going to be witnesses unto him. And now we're in the Judean realm. Okay. So this is vitally important. Great point right there. Great point. Notice, and his name, through faith in his name, verse 16, has made this man strong. What a perfect opportunity for Peter to say, yeah, we did this. But no, not at all. It was through faith in the name of Christ, by his authority, his power. And keep in mind that these men, the apostles, were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And miracles were going to be placed in their possession or to be able to perform miracles so God may get the glory, so people can see and be wowed and amazed and want to do what? Heed to the gospel. And really keep this in mind, friends, and this is where some of our denominational friends kind of just get off track just a little bit. The miracles never superseded the word. Okay? Miracles never superseded the word. We can prove that, 1 Corinthians 13. All right? Because we have the word today, and we don't have those miracles like what we see here. Now, notice, this man is strong because of faith in his name, whom you've seen and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness that's being made whole in the presence of you all, which means that this was not done in a corner. This was done out in the open so all men could see. Isn't it amazing? You look at Romans 1, verse 5 through 8, and then Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, for the obedience to faith. God wants us to be obedient to the faith. He wants us to be a people who have faith in the faith. Go ahead and put in your notes Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 16. All right. It's good to see some taking notes. It's vitally important that we understand what God is teaching us. Faith in the faith, that system of faith. And keep in mind that Jesus Christ was that system of faith. That if anyone was going to be saved, it was going to be through that system of faith. All right. Galatians 2, 11 through 16. notice verse 17 and following. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. I was reading the book of 2 Corinthians this afternoon, and Paul said something in chapter 13 that was interesting. He said that the apostles were sent to edify and not to destroy. Isn't that beautiful that Peter said, y'all did this in ignorance? Well, I mean, what an opportunity to really bear down on the people because of what they did to his Savior. I mean, he could have taken it real personal because it was personal. You remember what Peter did to Malchus's ear? He cut his ear off because of his Lord being somewhat offended. Well, it was Peter saying, no, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to cut his ear off. But he didn't have this attitude now. He said, y'all did this ignorantly. Y'all killed the Son of Glory ignorantly. You killed the Son of God ignorantly. Notice what he goes on to say. And as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Now, notice we see the same language in Mark 16, 15, 16, Acts 2, 38. Friends, any time that the gospel is preached, people must be challenged. Notice what he says, repent and what? Be converted. Now, literally, in the original language, the phrase be converted literally means turn. Turn. Be converted, Guy and Woods brings up an excellent point in this particular phrase, be converted, because be converted carries the idea of something being passive. No, because if anyone is going to be right with God, they have to be the one that's doing it. It's not done to them. Baptism is the act that's done to them. Repent and turn. All of that is on the individual who wants to be right with God. Being baptized is passive, something that is being done to them. When you bury someone, it's being done to them. They can't bury themselves. Okay? So he says, repent and turn. All right? Repent and turn and notice, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What does that sound like, friends? What does that sound like? Repent and turn. What does that sound like? Anyone? That God may send Jesus. What does that sound like? Does it sound like what Peter said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? I mean, the only way that a person can have the sins washed away is to repent and be baptized. Repent, turn from sin. Repentance, or belief and repentance, is vitally important. As a matter of fact, if a person repents and doesn't believe, well, you can't repent and believe. Okay. But if a person believes but doesn't want to repent, that won't work either. Repentance and baptism are so important because that puts them in a position to be a candidate for baptism. Not before, but after. All right? So, repent and be converted or turn. All right? This is something that the individual has to do themselves. I put in my notes that this is a time of revival. That makes sense. To revive someone revived from the dead. Ephesians 2, you put that in your notes, the first two verses. Being revived from the dead. At one time you were dead in your trespasses and sins, dead in sin. What is Peter talking about here? What does he want them to do? He wants them to turn from what they did to the Lord and be revived. And then notice in verses 22 and 23, we find Peter quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 through 18. Now, this is one of the 57 Old Testament references that you'll find in the book of Acts, which means that the book of Acts is substantiated. It can be proven. It can be validated. We can trust it. All right. In Romans 15:4, the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. God wants us to have that hope. So here he quotes Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18, and he's quoting Moses. Notice what Moses says. For truly Moses said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in some things. Is that what your Bible say? What does it say? Oh, you know, some folk only listen to Jesus in some things. Pick and choose like that cafeteria style religion, huh? No, in all things. All right. So whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul, listen, friends, who will not hear that prophet, what prophet? Jesus, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Friends, that's tough language. Anyone that doesn't obey Jesus Christ will be destroyed. That's so true. You know, if a person doesn't obey Jesus Christ, or if they obey Jesus Christ and they stop listening to him, they will be destroyed. Friends, we got to listen to Jesus. All of us have to listen to Jesus. This is his point. Moses said, you need to listen to Jesus. Peter telling them, listen to Jesus. Every teacher and preacher and Christian have a responsibility to tell everybody in the United States of America and everywhere we go, listen to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus got his words from the Father. John 8, verse 48. John 12, verse 48. All right. Yes, sir. 18? Mm-hmm. Yes. Great point. Great point. Matthew 5:17, but also more specifically in the verse right there is that Christ would suffer. He has thus fulfilled. So, remember Luke 44 through 47, Christ even said that he was going to suffer. And Jesus did suffer. He suffered a lot. All right. So the suffering that he went through was for the world. So great point. I appreciate that. Good point. Anyone else before we go any further? Yes, sir. That's right. That's who we listen to. We listen to Jesus. Yeah. People are still trying to listen to Moses today, right? Yeah, I was talking to a guy trying to keep the Sabbath. I think I shut him down. He haven't texted me back yet. We'll see. I hope he turned from it, because Moses said, listen to Jesus. But he's trying to listen to Moses. No, we need to listen to Jesus. All right. Good point. Verses 24 through 26. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who followed, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, notice singular, seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You can put in your notes Genesis 12, verse 3, Genesis 22, 18, and also a New Testament passage, Galatians 3, verse 16. To you, first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to what us? What does it say? To bless you. Hold on. That's in line with what what the book of Genesis, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 3 says. God told Abraham that in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be what? Blessed. And if it wasn't for the faith of Abraham, and remember, he was about to sacrifice his son, because of his faith, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Here we see very clearly that Jesus was sent to bless us. And he did bless us. You know how he blessed us? He put us in a position to have a relationship with the Father. Oh, what a blessing, right? That's a blessing. So he says, and this could not have happened, friends, unless Jesus was raised up by God. Wow, that's powerful. This ought to encourage us. So notice, he sent him to bless you, here it is, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. You know what a good passage for this is? It's 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, and 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. Peter's sermon was designed for everyone under the umbrella or the sound of his voice to turn from their iniquities. All right, 2 Peter 3:9. Hey, if you miss on a, if you don't hear me, just tell me. This our class. All right? All right, any comments, any questions? Now keep in mind, all of this is taking place because of this lame man. can you imagine this lame man from his mother's womb? Yes. Yeah. And they're awed. They're awed by it. We're going to see a response too. What a beautiful, beautiful, text that God has left us. And I was talking to Brother Rick earlier and he's right. We just skip right over chapter 3 and 4. We just skip right over it. You know, we look at the hub of the Bible, chapter 2, and then we jump to chapter 8 and we jump to chapter 7 with Stephen and then chapter 8 with Saul and chapter 9 with Saul and then we jump to chapter 10 with Cornelius and the Gentiles. But we're going to see a great result because of the great work of Peter and James, Peter and John. Notice chapter 4. Sir. Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. Paul. Great. Great point. Great point. All right. Chapter 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees, remember the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. All right. They came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. Uh-oh, we got a problem. Got a problem. They laid hands. Anytime someone lay hands on you, probably not a good thing, huh? You know, wives, don't make your husband mad. He might lay them hands on you. Y'all smile, come on. You better watch them lay them hands. They laid hands on him. Here we go. And they put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Hold on. 5,000? That was more than the day of Pentecost. You know what that means? That the church is up to 8,012 people already. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 here. Huh? Yeah. Hopefully, right. Well, we know it's 8,000. Here's the point. These men are in jail and the church is growing. Which means that it wasn't about the men. It was about the sermon. It was about the preaching. It was about the word. It was about what they saw. It was the evidence. All right. Notice verses 5-12, results from the preaching. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, scribes, these are the ones who have some type of clout, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now I put in my notes. Could you imagine occupying a position that no longer was valid? That's so funny. That drives me crazy. I mean, the high priest, Jesus is the high priest, Hebrews 4. I mean, they were occupying a position that was no longer valid. I mean, Peter could have easily said, man, you're not a high priest no more. Jesus is. He could have easily said that. Notice. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and notice who's governing Peter's, the Holy Spirit, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Now, remember, Sadducees are in this group, too. They don't want to hear this. I mean, anytime you get to talking to people and telling them things that they don't believe, you better believe they're getting stirred up in their soul. They're getting pretty mad. They're not liking what's being said here. And notice, by him, this man, now notice the language, sits here before you whole. Yes or no? Oh, stands. Now, come on now, y'all. Y'all better wake up. You gotta wake up. It's good teaching right here. I mean, for 40 years, they brought this man and sat him down. Now, they performed this miracle on this man by the name of Jesus Christ. And now, keep in mind, here are the apostles, if we can just kind of picture this in our mind. And you got the man standing right there. Now, Peter says, this ain't because of us. This is because of Jesus. He also says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders. Uh-oh. Now, I'm going to give you some passages to put in your notes. We don't have time to talk about this stone of stumbling. Maybe we might talk about it Sunday. That stone of stumbling. Put in your notes Psalm 118:22, Isaiah 8:14, Isaiah 28:16, Zechariah 3:9, Zechariah 12:3, Zechariah 10:1-4. 1 Peter 2:4-8, there's more, but those, that'll get you going right there. Now keep in mind that stone of stumbling, they rejected the Jews, they rejected Jesus Christ, they rejected him as being the Lord, and rejected him as being the Messiah. Notice verse number 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's that name again. Jesus is that stumbling stone by the will of God. Jesus is that stumbling stone because God made him that stumbling stone. I sent a text out this morning. If anybody ever want to be on my text message list, y'all just let me know. I sent a text message out this morning on this stumbling stone, and really those who stumble at Jesus Christ are disobedient because of the word. They don't want to abide by the word. And that's so therefore they stumble at Jesus, and men and women are stumbling at Jesus even today. Stumbling. But those who are not stumbling are the ones who are abiding by his word. Look at verses 13 through 22. Mm-hmm. Yes. They see. That's right. Good. Real good. Verses 13 through 22, evidence stands alone. Evidence stands alone. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, I don't have time to deal with that. Wow. You know what that means? I just said I didn't have time to deal with it. Now I'm trying to deal with it. You know what that means? Friends, you don't have to be sophisticated to follow Christ. Just have a good heart. Study the word. Be humble. Love the Lord. Love his word. Love the church. These were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized that they had what? Been with Jesus. Can people see that we've been with Jesus? let me keep going. Isn't that good stuff right there, y'all? That text is just talking to us. Can people tell that we've been with Jesus? Do they want to be around us? And seeing the man who had been healed, here it is, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Again, just picture this. Picture the apostles and this man standing right next to them. They're seeing this evidence. They knew that this man was lame from his mother's womb. All the time they would bring this man and set him at the beautiful gate. He would sit there and beg and get his daily money that he needed to live and eat. And now the evidence is standing. Didn't go to the doctor. Didn't have to go through rehab. Didn't have to wear a brace. I mean, the evidence is standing right next to him. Brother, we already finishing? You need to check his watch. Notice what he says, but they had commanded them to go aside out of the council. They conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done. So they acknowledge what took place. Through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Truth be told, why should they want to deny something that was good, that was wholesome, that was right, that was honest, that was honorable? It was from God, and people do it today, even today. They try to reduce what God is doing through his word to nothing. Yes. Well, I mean, they're occupying a priesthood that don't even exist anymore. That's just like you being a CEO of a company and another CEO has already taken over, but you don't want to leave the office. Eventually, they're going to escort you out the building. That's what they're going to do. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Hmm. Yeah, we ain't got time to be dealing with that. Sir? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he did. AD 70, didn't he? Let's keep reading. Verse 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. That sound like godly people, huh? That from now on, they speak to no man in this name. There's something about that name. You know, we occupy, or we have a great name that we live according to. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. Let him not be ashamed. Notice verse 18. Yes, sir. Great point. You know, it's a good application for us. You know, people see that, you know, we lived a heathenistic life for 40, 50 years, and now that we have turned away from sin and been baptized into Christ, and people just don't believe you've turned. No, you just keep living the right life. You keep showing them. And really, we show ourselves approved unto God anyway. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15. All right, great point. Look at verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. I love Peter and James's response. Peter and John's response, I'm sorry. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. I love that. He said, hey man, you know what? If you want to sit there and talk crazy, you go right ahead, but we're going to listen to God. You know, when people get to talking opposite of what God says and they want to enforce things upon you that God has not said, eventually you got to rise up and say, hey man, I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to listen to God. Notice what he says. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's the evidence. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them, meaning that they were looking for a way to punish them. Because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old. Man, let me tell you how hard it was for me not to say this before this time. I wanted to tell y'all he was 40 years old from the beginning, but I couldn't. This man was 40 years old. For 40 years, this man was laid at the gate. They knew it. And here's the evidence right before him, standing right next to him, and they can't do anything about it but accept it. Now notice, he's 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. I'm going to leave you with this point and we'll pick up on Sunday. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. You know, the apostle's ways were pleasing the Lord. The man that was lame and now healed, his ways were pleasing the Lord. The ones that wanted to threaten them and cause a disturbance, their ways were not pleasing the Lord. My exhortation to all of us, let's make sure that our ways are pleasing the Lord. And even if we make a mistake and we sin against God, let's please the Lord by repenting and doing what's right and confessing fault and then moving on. And one thing that we never want to do, I'll just throw this in, when we know that we have repented and confessed sin, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive. I think sometimes we don't forgive ourselves when God has said, I've forgiven you. Let's forgive ourselves and let's move forward. God bless you.